Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues, here on AFR. Tim with Walker. Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Good to be on the show today.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing good. Tim, how are you this morning?
Doing well. Did you watch the debate last night?
Yes, sir, I did.
What did you think about it?
Game, set, match. They should have installed the slaughter rule about 45 minutes in, because Pence just, he won so clearly, so convincingly. That wasn't that great of a debate, because he was so much on top of his game last night. Mm-hmm. He did great.
Says the conservative.
I
agree with you. Walker, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think he did good. I think the vice president did well. He was substantive. He was not interruptive of Senator Harris.
And he lost his hearing because he didn't hear the moderator saying stop.
That's true. Yeah, you can't. You have to ignore the moderator, otherwise you'll get lost. And
well, do you think that helped or hurt him?
I think it's fine.
She did too. Kamala Harris did too. But Pence just,
the voters,
Pence was not bothered at all by, Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, you have to ignore that at least for a minute or two, because the moderator's job is to begin interrupting right at the 2-minute mark.
Yeah.
And if you're halfway through a sentence,
that's
and
true.
Every time you stop, then it's going to be incomplete thoughts every few minutes.
Both of them did it.
Yeah,
but both of them did it. But all right, Fred.
Yeah, I watched the debate, and certainly there was a different climate on the debate stage compared to the first presidential debate last week. But I agree with our colleagues here that I think Vice President Pence had a very good night. He came off as thoughtful. He knew about the subjects. And he was willing to call out Senator Harris when she misrepresented the truth on multiple occasions, when she misrepresented the truth on trying to depict the president as a white supremacist or supporting white supremacy. She tried to paint the president as someone who does not appreciate, not support our military. And, of course, she tried to paint the picture that President Trump is responsible for the 210,000 people who have died from the pandemic. So we knew this was going to happen. We knew this was going to be the attack of Harris, but Vice President Pence was ready for those attacks and was, I think, clearly defeated her in her tactics.
Yeah, Kamala Harris, the senator from California, the VP candidate for the Democrats, she just repeated 5 or 6 times the lines that the left and the media have used against President Trump that are half-truths at best, mm-hmm. misrepresentations of what he said or wrote or has done. And she did that on multiple occasions. Sometimes in life, we all know there's two ways to see things. Right? I mean, if you have a car accident and somebody's on one side of the street and somebody's on the other side of the street, they may describe the same accident in different ways. So I understand that, and that's a reality. However, what Harris was doing last night was just repeating the same old stuff that they tried to use against President Trump and Vice President Pence that is just not so. The Muslim ban, she called it,
mm-hmm.
on travel. It wasn't a Muslim ban. You can't do that. It was a country ban.
Right.
Most of them were countries that were is dominated by Muslims. They live there, but it was a national security implementation based on threats to our country. And we all know that so many of these threats come from countries where you have Muslim radicals. That's just been going on.
Yeah, and the countries were identified by the Obama administration.
Yeah.
It's high-risk countries.
Okay, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. She said a Muslim ban. It wasn't corrected by the moderator. I don't know. I was not familiar with the moderator before this, and I don't know what she felt her job was to do. Was it to correct the candidates? I don't think she did that much of Vice President Pence either. But Harris also said that President Trump had slandered the military based on the Atlantic magazine article from that was about 3 weeks ago, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
That was from unverified sources, unnamed sources, which was not confirmed by anybody who was there at the event in France where this supposedly took place, where the president talked down the military. So she said that as a stated fact. That's number two. She repeated the Charlottesville incident where President said there were good Nazis. Basically, that's what she was implementing, mm-hmm. neo-Nazis. That was completely taken out of context. She and Biden both continue to use that. I'm just saying there were multiple occasions where that happened. And it's just it's irritating to know the truth and to know they know the truth. I don't mind you saying he shouldn't have said anything about that, maybe, that incident, but to take us three words or four words out of context and continue to repeat them over and over again when even some of the liberal media have said that's a mischaracterization,
yeah.
to say the least. So,
yeah, I think it's...
But it sells well on the left. When they hear that, they get their juices going.
Yeah, and I like the candidate. The opposing candidate, in this case, Vice President Pence, being the one to rebuke or rebut that lie that Harris said, because I don't really like the moderator being the referee on who's telling the truth and who's not, because that's naturally going to lean against Trump and Pence, and they're going
to
be
also puts the moderator in a very uncomfortable position of trying to challenge one of the candidates or not on something when that's really not their place.
Yeah, I thought overall last night's debate was much better than the first presidential debate. And there were two things that I thought could have been done different. I think, and this, Brit Hume on Fox brought this up last night, there needs to be some kind of bell or some kind of noise when a candidate exceeds their two-minute time. Just a quick noise, a bell or whatever. That way the moderator's not having to interrupt six times, seven times before the candidate stops speaking. And then the second thing would be the questions that the moderator was asking, that she was asking, almost all of them, and Fred mentioned this morning, almost all of them were, the premise of the question was basically how the Trump administration has been responsible
for
everything
wrong
in our country, whether it be coronavirus or the economy, etc. And so then the question was to Harris, how are you going to fix it? So the premise that the moderator had was how everything is going wrong almost every time. And none of the questions were on a premise of how Biden did anything wrong. It's all about the Trump administration.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tell folks how they can watch on the internet, Walker.
Yeah, our website, AFR.net. AFR.net, you can go there, check it out. Also, download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone, tablet device. And lastly, we're on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook.
All right, what do we got coming up tonight?
And YouTube. Tonight, we have something you've probably heard about if you've been listening, but if you haven't, we're having a AFA at Home event. That's the name of it. AFA at Home. I'll be the host tonight at 7 p.m. Central. And what we're going to do here is we're going to have a couple panel discussions with guests such as Tim Barton of Wall Builders, David and Jason Benham, Abraham Hamilton III that you hear each weekday here, Dr. Richard Land of Southern Evangelical Seminary, Star Parker, and Sandy Rios from Sandy Rios in the Morning.
It's an all-star lineup. That's tonight?
That's right. We're going to have a great panel discussion tonight. It begins at 7 p.m. Central tonight. It's free. Here's the website. You just need to go and register, afaaction.net, AFAaction.net. Go there and register for free, and it'll start at 7 p.m. Central tonight.
You guys are going to be discussing issues that are relative to the upcoming election, having to do with religious liberty, censorship and social media, the pro-life movement, judges, socialism, and the threat to our republic. So you guys have got a lot to cover tonight, but that's a free event online. Just go to AFAaction.net and sign up.
That's right. You got it.
Now when it's if you can't watch it live at 7, can you watch it after it's? Will it be up there to watch on demand?
Yes, we'll keep it up for at least a week or two to people to watch.
Okay, you're listening to Today's Issues. All right, Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, well, one of the I think highlights from last night actually was a spillover from the first presidential debate last week, and that is on the issue if. Harris and Biden, or Biden and Harris, are elected, will the Democrats pack the court? And what that is in reference to would be a plan to add seats to the United States Supreme Court. Now, you will remember last week that came up, and Biden basically said, I don't want to answer the question. So it came up again last night. So let's have a listen. Has Vice President Pence challenges Senator Harris on this issue. Are you going to pack the court? It's cut number 6.
Joe and I are very clear. The American people are voting right now, and it should be their decision about who will serve on this most important body for a lifetime.
Thank you, Senator Harris.
People, Susan, are voting right now. They'd like to know if you and Joe Biden are going to pack the Supreme Court if you don't get your way in this nomination.
Let's talk about packing.
You once again gave a non-answer. Joe Biden gave a non-answer.
I'm trying to answer you
the
now.
The American people deserve a straight answer. And if you haven't figured it out yet, the straight answer is they are going to pack the Supreme Court.
All right, there you have it. And she, like Joe Biden last week, refused to answer that question.
I don't get it, Ray. Why don't she just say yes, no, or we might? I mean...
She ran away from that question, right? She was filibustering. She was talking over him. She was avoiding him. Why didn't she just say the truth? Yes, we don't want Amy Coney Barrett on there, but if you put her on there, we're going to add 2 or 3 more people to the Supreme Court because the people on the left would cheer her for saying that.
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't understand why they're being so coy here with this. What would be your guess?
I mean, think it's probably a toxic answer. If she says they're going to pack the court, I think that's a turnoff for some voters. So it would energize her base, as you and Ray mentioned, but it would turn off a lot of voters because that's not a very attractive idea. We've had the 9 justices, I think they mentioned, for over 100 years plus. So, but I think in reality, when you read some of the Democrat leadership, they've said we're willing to pack the court, starting with Chuck Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
And a rare few Democrats have rebutted that idea and said, well, they've either said, well, we're not sure what we want to do, or we don't think packing the court's a good idea. There's a handful. But the radicals in the Democrat Party and some of the mainstream leaders have said, we want to pack the court.
By packing the court, folks, what we mean is the Supreme Court of the United States has 9 members now. What the Democrats want to do, and they were saying this before Amy Coney Barrett was submitted by the president as a replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But what they wanted, what packing the court means is they would add, who knows, 3 to 5 more Supreme Court judges, justices, and they would do so while the Democrats control the White House and the Senate. So they basically packed the court so that the Republicans are permanent. The conservatives are permanently shut out from the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
That's what packing the court means. It would be terrible for our country. And the fact that Kamala Harris last night would not reject the idea, nor has Joe Biden rejected the idea, leads us to believe what the vice president, leads me to believe what the vice president said is true, and that is they are going to pack the Supreme Court, but they don't want to tell anybody out loud right now because it may damage them potentially with some swing voters. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the only thought. But But the problem with that is Ray, when you don't answer the question repeatedly and just smile and smirk and, as I say, be coy, try to be coy about it, that is the answer.
Right, right. So Pence was right all the way around. He was right to ask her the question, and he was right to say, America, now you know the truth is, yes, they do want to pack the court. They just don't want to tell the truth. So you end up looking devious and deceptive.
Right.
That was an awful moment for Kamala Harris last night. Awful.
Then I think people have to understand the dangers if that was to happen. Because basically, you're going to then have, let's say, 13 justices of the Supreme Court, the majority being far left in their ideology, moving further and further away from interpreting the Constitution in a traditional way. Basically, the United States Supreme Court would then run the country.
Well, what about this
scenario?
They
would run the country.
What about this scenario, too? Let's just say that the Republicans gained back the White House, should they lose it this time, in 4 years, and the Senate. And then they decide, okay, you got 13, we want to go with 20.
Yeah.
So we can do put seven on the bench.
We'll up you.
Yeah.
We'll up the ante here, so
that's
to speak.
The problem. That's one of the main problems with doing that. Mm-hmm. And another topic last night where Senator Harris clearly was lying is on fracking, on fossil fuels.
We got that.
Yeah, Fred, let's talk about that because she was saying
what is fracking? Anybody here know?
It's a way of extracting oil and natural gas from the ground.
Right.
Okay.
As opposed to digging wells.
That's a very popular way. I got a general idea about it, but I don't know. They keep saying it. I just didn't know exactly what what's the opposition, Fred?
The opposition from the Democrat side, they want to get rid of fossil fuels.
Okay, gotcha.
That's the opposition. All right, cut number three, Brent.
I am not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I am not banning fracking. No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
Like, what about, say, stopping fracking and stopping new pipes?
I am not banning fracking. No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
I am not banning fracking. No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
No more, no new fracking.
No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
I got it.
You got it.
So, Walker, that's why you use the word lying.
Yes, because Senator Harris said when she was running during the primary, she was running for president, the Democrat nominee position. She said at a town hall on MSNBC, we will absolutely ban fracking. She uses exact words.
And did she do that as a VP?
She did this during the primary like 10 months ago.
Okay. Y'all, don't get mad at me, okay, when I bring this up. I just got a question for you. In all fairness, I'm Mr. Fair here.
Yeah.
A lot of times people run for office in a primary setting, and they have positions that they take. But when they submit to be, or they become VP candidate, they have to adopt the position of the leader of the ticket. That happens all the time. So, the quote we had from her was during the primary. She might say, "Well, I'm against fracking, but Biden is for fracking, so I have to go with what he says." I just want to say, is that what's going on here?
Both candidates, Biden and Harris, have both said within the last 12 months that they are opposed to fracking. They will end fracking. Last night, she says, we will not stop fracking.
Okay.
And the vice president, Mike Pence, said that you said, Senator Harris, that you were going to stop fracking. And she said, no, that's not true. I never said that.
Okay. Also, Fred, when Biden says repeatedly he wants to end fossil fuels, that would necessarily include fracking.
Yes.
So,
it's a fossil fuel.
What do they hope to accomplish with this misleading thing they're doing?
Well, because going back to that far left segment of the Democratic Party, the Bernie Sanders AOC segment, They know they have to have the support of that wing of the party in order to win.
Yeah, but they're against fracking.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, they needed to win. They needed it to win the primary.
Yes. Pennsylvania.
To flush
it's
out.
It's all about Pennsylvania.
They
for
needed
the most
to
part,
flush out Bernie Sanders so they hold all the positions that Bernie Sanders holds in the primary so they can get the nominee.
Okay, Ray. So you say, the Biden-Harris camp says we're not going to end fracking so that they're not hurt with voters in Pennsylvania who this in particular, right?
Right.
Because it's a swing state. Then you get into office. And you say, well, we're taking a second look at that. We probably
that's
are going
to. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Isn't that what's going on here?
Sure.
Right. That's how you play the game. In the primary, you say, we're going to end fracking.
Gotcha.
In the general, you say, no, we're not going to end it. You get into office and say, now we're going to take a second look at it.
Politically speaking, it's a brilliant move because that's how Biden, I think, was really able to beat Bernie Sanders in the primary, is Biden pretty much adopted every position that Sanders had.
Yeah.
Green New Deal, we're banning fracking, we're for universal basic income, Medicare for all. I mean, Biden was raising his hand for every Bernie Sanders position, and all the Bernie folks said, well, Biden's pretty good. He likes our positions. Now we're in the general election, and Biden is disowning all of those positions.
Well, all I can say is Bernie Sanders and AOC are now supporting Biden. That should frighten the American public. Because they are far, far, far leftist, economically speaking, climate change, fracking, all of those elements.
Fred, do you think if Biden and Harris keep throwing the Bernie crowd under the bus between now and November 3rd, that's going to upset them? Because that's what they did last night.
Well, but here's the truth. I think they've come down to a plan.
Mm-hmm.
During the election campaign, go ahead and say this.
Right. Mm.
But we know when we get elected,
right.
Bernie and AOC know that Biden will do their bidding.
Got it.
Because I don't think honesty and integrity are part of the fabric of the Democratic leadership right now.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. So when did you notice the fly on Mike Pence's head, Ray?
When it started popping up on my Twitter feed, I was watching the debate and I didn't see it. Then suddenly Twitter, I'm doing the Twitter thing and it explodes. And
well, with the white hair, we were watching it like everybody else, and Allison goes, "Is that a fly on Mike?"
Do you think, Tim, he didn't know?
I don't think he knew.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think any. Hey, it was better that the fly just sat there than start. Hovering around your head.
Right, like swinging your arms.
We've all been there before. You got a fly or a gnat around you, and you're just totally distracted, and you're having to swat, and you don't hear what the person's saying.
Yeah.
And it looked ridiculous. So the fly was, I thought the fly was well-behaved.
It was kind of
added to the decorum.
Kind of stuck to his hair there,
yeah.
I guess.
I thought it would land. Yeah, this shows how deeply I was analyzing the fly. I thought it would land, and you know how flies, they're very fidgety. If you move or try to swat them, they're gone.
Yeah.
And this fly was just hanging out for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was a Democrat plant.
Probably.
You think it was a Democrat plant? I thought maybe Hillary Clinton had been reincarnated. Was that bad? I didn't mean for that to be mean-spirited. All right, we're going to take a break right here. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker, Ray, and Fred. And Jan Markell will join us in just a couple of minutes. And then our good buddy Alex McFarland's on the way next half hour as well. So, you keep listening. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. We shall return.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's What's the question, Ed? How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. There are a disturbing number of Democrat lawmakers who believe Christians must renounce their religious beliefs and their religious affiliations if they want to hold public office. In 2019, judicial nominee Brian Buescher came under attack by Senator Kamala Harris, all because he was a member of the Knights of Columbus, a revered and highly respected Catholic charitable organization. And Amy Coney Barrett was subjected to an interrogation about her faith, grilled by Senators Dick Durbin and Dianne Feinstein. Feinstein declared the Catholic dogma lived loudly in her life, and that was disturbing. Now, the Constitution is very clear, and I quote, "No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States." The Catholic dogma does indeed live loudly in the life of Judge Barrett, but the only thing disturbing is the Democrat Party's attempt to silence people of faith in public service. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on AFR. Hey, before we go to our guests, Fred, there was a breaking story that happened earlier this morning that we haven't even talked about. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we were talking about flies just before the break. Well, there's a fly in the ointment now with regards to the next presidential debate scheduled for next Thursday evening in Miami. The so-called Nonpartisan Debates Commission announced this morning that they want this upcoming debate Thursday night, next Thursday, to be a virtual debate. In other words, they want President Trump to be somewhere in the country and Joe Biden to be somewhere else in the country, not in the same room. All right, so this was made around 6 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Apparently, certainly the Trump campaign didn't know anything about it until the announcement came home.
Really? They didn't?
They didn't consult, at least with the Trump campaign. Now, it is kind of interesting. Joe Biden was expressing concern about being on the same stage with the president next Thursday evening, given his COVID diagnosis. As the announcement came out this morning, President Trump was on the Fox Business Network. And, of course, he was asked right away, as soon as the news broke, what do you think about this idea of a virtual debate? And he responded very quickly. It's cut number zero, Brent.
No, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating's all about. You sit behind a computer and do a debate. It's ridiculous. Yeah, we learned it the same way you learned it. They called up 2 minutes ago, and it was announced. And they're trying to protect Biden. Everybody is.
Yeah, and at the same time on the main network, Pam Bondi, who is the former attorney general in Florida, and she's now a Trump advisor, and Brent, this is going to be cut number 12, she gave some reasons why a virtual debate is not a good idea.
Well, I think by that time the president will test negative. I think they should have the debate in person. I think the president wants it in person. I think the problem with that, and I'll say it, is they could cheat on the debate. We know that. We have to have someone there to verify that Joe Biden does not have something in his ear feeding him answers, or someone standing in front of a camera handing him answers. We know this from former town halls he's done where they said they had objective people who were undecided voters. Not true. We know that the questions from the media that he's taken in the past have been set up questions that he already knew the answers to because they were up on a teleprompter. So I think they have to be very, very careful. I think there's got to be a safeguard in there where we know they're not feeding him answers in his ear.
So no debate.
Well, Trump says he's not going, if that is the condition.
He's not going because he's not going anywhere.
Yep. In fact, he announced as part of that interview this morning, hey, we're going to have a rally somewhere. That's what I'll be
doing.
All right,
let me survey the panel here. Ray, do you think the president's making the right decision there or not?
Yeah, because they're doing this to favor Biden for all the reasons that have already been mentioned. But, you know, Tim, this is a pretty fluid situation. The in-person debate could be back on in 24 hours. But yeah, for the moment, I think he's calling out the shenanigans of the debate commission who were clearly biased to Joe Biden. So yeah, it's a good decision.
You know, I don't know. Well, go ahead, Fred, your thoughts.
Yes. Oh yeah, I agree with Pam Bondi on this. Can you imagine a debate next Thursday night with Joe Biden sitting in his basement with his friends around, kind of knowing what the questions are going to be, so he has a teleprompter in front of him?
Well, let me offer an alternative viewpoint on that, fellas.
Okay.
And I understand perfectly why the president doesn't want to do that, and his instinctive reaction was no. And I think he's right. However, when Joe Biden has looked his worst is when he's doing a computer interview. So it could work to the president's advantage to be on a video like that, and Biden fumbles, or you know what I'm saying? I mean,
but wouldn't you have to have some observers there to guarantee, if there could be such, to guarantee that he didn't have a teleprompter, didn't have somebody slipping him notes?
Look, if you got a teleprompter and you're answering questions on a presidential debate, everybody's going to know it. That's my opinion.
But
which makes you look worse.
I don't mind the premise of this. The premise of this is because we're worried about COVID spread.
Yeah.
You could put
I agree with that. Completely.
You could put Trump on one end of the stage.
That's lame.
30 feet away from Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's lame. That's why this debate commission, to me, shows their bias here by canceling. Why do you have to cancel now? Why don't you wait till next Tuesday?
Yeah.
And then say, well, the president's going to be tested today, and then we'll decide whether we're going to go forward
with
it. I mean,
that's a good point.
Why do you have to make the call now?
Or like you said this morning, bump it back 2 days.
Bump it back 2 days.
Do it on a Saturday.
But to say we're canceling, we're doing it virtually now, to make that decision now.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, it says to me, which confirms to me what the president said. That is that these folks are trying to protect Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Although Joe Biden did fine the live debate in terms of his
right.
He didn't, you know, fall asleep or drool or say something nutty.
He got
that,
through it.
That cost him. Go ahead, Walker. And then we got to go to Jim.
Yeah, I think the president's looking out for his best interest, the best interest of his campaign and his chances of winning back, of keeping the White House. And a virtual debate is a no-go. I think it's a loser. I think there's too many factors that you're missing from the in-person debate. So I don't know if President Trump needs more debates. I mean, you could say the same thing about Biden, but I just don't know how much it really helps. I don't know how many minds are changed over the debate. So I think either in-person debate or no debate at all. Yeah. And if no debate at all, then President Trump campaigns.
All right. We want to welcome Jan Markell to the program now. Jan joins us most Thursdays at this time. She's the host of Understanding the Times Radio, heard each weekend on AFR. And she's the founder of Olive Tree Ministries out of the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Jan, good morning.
Well, thank you for having me. Good to talk to you.
What do you think about the debate last night?
Well, I certainly paid close attention to it, and you know, we've kind of got battle lines drawn, and I think Vice President Pence kind of outlined them very effectively last night. And if I could just kind of add to that, for the next 2 weekends, I do have Michelle Bachmann on here with me talking about the things that you guys are talking about and we're talking about, all these election-related issues. And her sort of her position paper right now is that the left is trying to create as much chaos and confusion as possible, and that this chaos and confusion, and it's okay with them if it goes even way into January or beyond to cause chaos and confusion with election results, particularly if Mr. Biden doesn't do as well as they hope, or even if it's a close election. And I say these things here, I say these things not to draw attention to the program as much as to call attention that your listeners right now, I trust they're praying, even fasting, for this election coming up here in a month, because not only is the game changer, it'll change the game for not just America, but for the entire world. I mean, when you look back at what the Obama administration did to the Middle East, what happens in Washington affects the entire world. And this forthcoming election, as Michelle would say, and others who are working on it regularly, is the most important election since going back to the days of the Civil War.
One of the topics you guys are going to discuss, don't want you to give us all the all the show's points this weekend, but voter fraud. Go ahead.
We spent a great amount of time on just how is the left trying to perpetrate this voter fraud, and Michelle goes into it in detail. And you know, sadly, once again, ground zero is Minneapolis Representative Ilhan Omar. I think we referenced that even last week. But the ballot harvesting, the voter fraud, the paying people up to $200, which James O'Keefe exposed in Project Veritas. We're going to talk about all of that. We talk about these issues for 2 weeks, but we really target it this coming Saturday, Sunday. I believe it's 1 p.m. Central Saturday and 12 noon Central Sunday. But I just want AFR listeners and all my listeners to be aware that skullduggery is going on as we speak. I mean, the left knows no shame. They're going to try to win this election any way possible. If they can't win it in normal ways with traditional voting, they're going to do everything they can to steal it. So we're at a very critical time in American history.
So join Jan with her guest, Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman from Minnesota, this Sunday at noon Central and Saturday at 1 o'clock Central on AFR. And we look forward to that program, Jan, and thanks so much for your ministry.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye now. That's Jan Markell. You're listening to today's issues. What do you think, Ray, about potential for voter fraud?
Well, I think we should just be talking about the reality of it. You know, in some states like New York or California, it's just the margin is going to be so overwhelming it's not going to make a difference. But look how close it was in Minnesota, in Michigan, and especially in Wisconsin, right? Just a few thousand votes. So, yeah, I think there's real possibility, especially with these mail-in ballots. And now these – wasn't there a report about these – The post guy, the postman, whoever it was, who threw away a bunch of the ballot applications which were sent out by the Republicans to Trump voters. I mean, this stuff is happening across the country. So, yeah, I think the potential is there. It's going to be realized as we get closer to the election.
Yeah. You know, Fred and Walker and Ray, one of the topics that the moderator last night from USA Today chose, How many segments were there?
There were, what, 9 segments of 10 minutes each, I think.
Okay. One of the segments she chose, I just thought was, I didn't understand her point, and that was the Breonna Taylor story out of Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You were asking these two folks to comment on something. They don't know any of the evidence from the grand jury. This was a case in that was, you know what I'm saying? So how are you supposed to give intelligent, knowledgeable information about this story without having knowledge that the grand jury had? And the,
right.
Walker's. I didn't understand where was the moderator going with that. What was the point of asking that? I mean, we got incidents all over the country that happen every day by the hundreds or thousands. So I know this got national attention, but I don't understand what was the point there.
Yeah, I don't know what the point was. There was other than maybe give Senator Harris a shot at
bashing the police or something?
Yeah, bashing the police or racial injustice or systematic racism, things like that.
Systemic.
But to your point about the grand jury, I mean, that grand jury material hasn't even been released yet to the public. And the grand jury made a decision not to indict the officers, not to charge the officers on really any charge related to the actual warrant itself. The other charge was related to a bullet entering the apartment next
door. I just don't understand. Why is that a national issue, Ray, for a vice presidential debate?
Look, that was a softball question set up for Kamala Harris.
Okay. This was bias on the part of the moderator. Okay.
Right.
And what was the softball answer? What was a softball question to get what answer from Harris?
To basically not only to say that injustice was not done, but also to as a launching pad into all the problems that we face here in America, because that's one of that's a big talking point on the left. So yeah, that was a question designed for Kamala Harris, and she did. I mean, I thought she gave a pretty good answer, and then the vice president came back and said, "So now you're willing to put your own opinion over against the grand jury, as if you know more than they do." So
yeah, I was waiting on the.
He gave a good answer.
I was waiting on the moderator to pose a question to Senator Harris about we've had groups rioting and looting and committing arson, burning down private businesses. What do you have to say about that, Senator Harris?
Yes, given the fact that you gave money to bail some of them out.
Yes, good. Yeah, that would have been a great question.
Right. I think Vice President Pence would be a good moderator for a debate, because it was up to him to ask the real tough questions last night. Senator Harris. Here's an example. It's cut number 8. He talks about what happened when Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of California, because she was preaching last night, justice reform. And Vice President Pence had some questions for her. Cut number 8.
In San Francisco, when you left office, African Americans were 19 times more likely to be prosecuted for minor drug offenses than whites and Hispanics. When you were Attorney General of California,
you
increased the disproportionate incarceration of blacks in California. Yeah. You did nothing on criminal justice reform in California. You didn't lift a finger to pass the First Step Act on Capitol Hill. I mean, the reality is your record speaks for itself. President Trump and I have fought for criminal justice reform.
Thank you, Vice President.
We fought for educational choice and opportunities for African Americans, all of our
members. Thank you, sir.
And we'll do it for 4 more
Thank you.
Years.
Yeah, the moderator was trying to get him to stop because he was making Kamala Harris look really bad and a hypocrite.
Yeah. She was AG, wasn't she?
She was Attorney General
of California.
Yeah.
And she oversaw what the Democrats claim as a problem, a system problem, is what she oversaw with no changes.
Right.
And she voted against the First Step Act, which reduced sentences for certain nonviolent offenders. No matter what you think about the First Step Act, if anything, that was something the Democrats should have gotten behind based on their rhetoric. And, of course, she voted against it.
I've noticed when she doesn't want to answer questions forthrightly, she starts laughing.
Yeah.
Do you notice this?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little nervous laugh and smiling, smirking, and bouncing her head around. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Yep.
This is how her body language is on these kinds of issues. There'll only be one vice presidential debate, ladies and gentlemen. That was last night. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word each afternoon here from 3 to 4 o'clock Central Time is with us now. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
Are you traveling or are you at home in North Carolina?
I am in Colorado getting ready to head into the studio with James Dobson. How's that for name dropping? I'm on the road recording radio with Dr. Dobson.
What are you going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about my new book, The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. And a big part of that book being how we must recover belief in morals, objective morality, or we're going to descend further and further into chaos.
How do we do that? Not descend further into chaos. How do we get on back on the right track?
You know, the first thing we need to do is reelect this president and go for four more years with putting good people on the courts, beginning with Amy Coney Barrett, and restoring the rule of order. Hey, let me point out something. Did you all see, and by the way, I was on the headphones here listening to y'all's conversation, very insightful analysis of the debate. Did you see where Angela Davis is in the news this morning saying that police in America exists to preserve and perpetuate white supremacy? Mm-hmm. Did y'all? Now, for those that may not know, Angela Davis is an extremely radical voice from the late 60s and early 70s. And it dawned on me that everybody from Jerry Brown to Bernie Sanders to really the 47-year left-leaning record of Joe Biden, isn't it something that people long since relegated to the status of irrelevant? Even Jane Fonda, who is in the news this week urging people to defeat Trump and elect Biden, when you've got names like Angela Davis and Jane Fonda back in the news, really peddling the same socialist mantra they were peddling 50 years ago, it shows me, folks, that the left trajectory of the Democrat Party has suddenly, finally, after holding them at bay for 50 years, it's given relevancy and platform again to radical voices from the 60s that maybe we thought we had successfully moved beyond.
Yes, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I didn't want to tell folks the book you've got out, the new book. It's very timely. But we mentioned the title of it again. I know we are offering it here to a lot of our supporters when they make a donation.
The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. And I wrote it this summer. It just came out a couple of weeks ago. It's very relevant. In the book, we list 21 things that the Biden-Harris platform has promised to do. I would kind of say threatened to do. And it's a book that really talks about how the future of our country is a jump ball right now. Just for instance, let me just give you one example on religious freedom. Biden, and by the way, there's a group out called Evangelicals for Biden, and I would say that they're really not evangelical Christians, or at least their stances are certainly not biblical. But much is being made in some circles about Biden's, quote, faith commitment. And Biden says religious freedom is a fundamental American value. But he qualifies that by saying there can't be exemptions for people that will discriminate against LGBTQ trans people. And whereas Donald Trump has said our founders understood that no right is more fundamental than the right to follow one's religious convictions. So part of the reason that I'm saying this, guys, and I'm practically begging pastors and Christian leaders, even if you're the least political person in the neighborhood, please, folks, care about this election and pray for America and vote, because really, one of the things at stake, and there are many, but one of the things at stake is whether or not we can practice biblical Christianity in America.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The kinds of judges that Biden would appoint for the year he's in office, and then Kamala Harris for the other three, would be yeah. would be far left, and they would be anti-Christian and anti-religious liberty. There's no question about that. So I think that's a very serious issue. We see what's going on in California and some other places, California, where they're closing down churches, regulating churches, and they're going to, with no end in sight, mm-hmm. giving churches fines, telling them you got to meet outside, or you can only meet for 30 minutes, or you can only have, you know, 27 people. I mean, all these crazy things that are sinister. They're more than crazy. They're sinister. Mm-hmm. And they undermine our Constitution and our First Amendment, which is a bedrock of our country. Alex, yes. Thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate you joining us, and we wish you a great program with Dr. Dobson, and safe travels home.
God bless you all. I look forward to being at AFA next week for Share-a-thon.
That's right. So, all right, you'll be in studio with us. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, sir. God bless you all. Thanks.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, we got a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we need to be praying for our dear friends in Louisiana. They're bracing for yet another hurricane to come ashore. Hurricane Delta came off the Yucatan Peninsula last night. It kind of quieted down a little bit to a Hurricane 1 level. It's back up to a Cat 2. It could be up, they say, to a Cat 4. By the time it hits the Louisiana coastline, Lake Charles, in that area, and it's going to stay strong up through. These are folks that just went through Hurricane Laura just a few weeks ago. There are still thousands of people who were fled their homes, staying in hotels in New Orleans, places like that. And now that area is going to be, it looks like, hit again. So we need to keep those folks in our prayers.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, you hope it doesn't go anywhere, but it is. I'm going to make landfall somewhere. Mm. But my goodness gracious, you talk about, right? Probably folks in Louisiana are probably feeling about like Job right now. Mm. You know.
Well, you wonder. I mean, 2020, the year that will the gift that keeps on giving, right? Yeah. The year that will not end, and you just wonder. I was just looking at the Bible and the second coming, all these, the things that are happening around us. We're praying for our friends in Louisiana and to all of our listeners in that part of the country and in Mississippi too, as well. Be ready. Don't be caught unawares when this hurricane hits, because a Cat 3, Cat 4 comes ashore. Well, there's no end to the damage it can cause.
You know, and I've wondered about this. You have a lot of the cleanup and reconstruction and so forth going on from the other hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hurricane Laura.
Right. Yeah. And then you got all that, you know, all that stuff laying around on the street.
Sure.
And then you get 100-mile-an-hour winds. There goes, you know what I'm saying? Mm. There goes projectiles flying everywhere.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. We do need to pray for our friends in Louisiana in particular, like Charles area. And just feel very bad for those folks. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.